Recordings has started.
Great. Thank you so much, James. Well, welcome, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the reconvened PDP Working Group on Red Cross Names on Thursday, the 7th of June, 2018. On the call today, we have Thomas Rickert, Heather Forrest, David Maher, Consulate Alelici, and Greg Shatton. If anyone has joined only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, we do have apologies from Christopher Lamb, Alan Greenberg, and a tentative apology from Chuck Gomes. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Dennis Chang, Mary Wong, Steve Chan, and myself, Michelle DeSmiter. As a reminder, if you would please state your name so it appears clearly on the transcription. Thank you ever so much, and over to Thomas Rickert. Please begin.
Thank you ever so much, Michelle, and hello, everyone. We are a few minutes late because we've been waiting for more participants to join. So let's now go to the agenda without any further ado. Are there any questions with respect to the agenda? There don't seem to be any. Any updates to statements of interest? Let me just note that we got one update to an SOI from Chuck Gomes in writing. So let's please add what Chuck wrote to the notes of this call, because he also indicated his level of support for the recommendation. So even he's absent, his voice will sort of be part of this call, and therefore we should be diligent and also take note of his update of his SOI. Great. That allows us to move to the second point on the agenda, and that is the review of the definitive list of National Society names and variant principles. So I would suggest that our capable Barry takes us through the document as he did the last few calls. We will then open it up for questions. And Barry, if I may, I'd also like you or I'm not sure whether Mary's going to do that, to speak to the comments that Chuck made on those documents so that we have that on the record as well, Stefan, prior to this call. So over to you, Barry.
Thank you, Thomas. Barry Cobb for the record, and I'll just note in the chat that Stefan has now joined the audio bridge. Hopefully he'll be on in the AC room shortly. So in terms of part of the agenda, I think first I'd like to talk through the spreadsheet that contains the definitive list. We won't spend much time on this. I'd just like to offer up some of the changes that have been made since our last call, and then we'll definitely spend more time around the variant index that has also been sent out to the list. So as with previous calls, you know, it's almost impossible to share a spreadsheet of this size within the Adobe Connect room. So I ask you to follow along on your own computers with the spreadsheet in front of you. So when we met, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were basically working off the version that was sent by the Red Cross representatives, which I'm kind of identifying as version one, that contained the 193 National Society names with the variants that were proposed as Stefan reached out to each National Society across the countries. We had pretty extensive discussion on that. There was some good feedback about some changes. And so the first, I'm basically just going to move left to right through the spreadsheet in terms of the tabs. And so the first one on the far left is just a high-level legend of what is contained within the spreadsheet. Essentially, it's identifying or keying off kind of quote-unquote version 2, which I'll talk about in a little bit, describes what the columns are displaying the formal or, official name or the common names, as well as the translations of those names and the languages used. When you look through this list, if you have any other ideas of what things may be beneficial to add to the to this legend, please send them on the list, and I'll be happy to indicate that. What it does also indicate is that the intent of this list is, again, to be a human-readable form. Later, once the list is adopted and passed over for implementation, there will be an algorithm behind this that will be run against this human-readable form that will convert them into DNS labels. So it will remove things like dashes or non-DNS label characters to generate actual resolvable domain names. Most of the tabs in the spreadsheet are colored gray. Those are the more recent tabs. And then the last two are colored in black, which is to represent prior versions of the list. Before I move to the second tab, so I will talk about the versions. Way over on the far right, you'll see that the ICRC, IFRC identifiers version 1 and National Society's version 1. Those were the instances that were sent by the Red Cross representatives about at the end of April, I believe. And since then, slightly to the left of those highlighted in gray are version 2 of that list, thus why I have the second tab labeled a change log. And so what I'm trying to do here is to create a chain of custody between these versions, just so that there's removes any benefit of doubt about why one particular string may have been included or excluded. So, for example, last call in the middle of May, we had talked about some of the translations for the Red Cross Society of China or the Japanese Red Cross Society. Late yesterday, Stefan sent the note. I don't believe it was to the list, but he did reach out to both of those national societies and received updates from them that include a more complete set of translations against their identified common names, and then had removed or confirmed the translation of, for example, I believe in China it was Red Society, that translation was not accurate. And we can talk through some of those in more detail when we get into the variant list. So, again, we've got the legend, we have the change log, then we have the ICRC, IFRC identifiers, which is the latest, or version 2. So I'm on the third tab of the spreadsheet. You'll recall that there were a couple of translations from the country of Afghanistan that were included in that list. You'll notice back on the change log on tab two, row two, again, just noting as an example that I had removed those national languages from this particular list. As per the original recommendation was that it was going to be for these International Committee and International Federation of Red Cross, Red Crescent Societies, that these would just be reserved in the UN's sixth language. And then lastly, the fourth tab, which is the National Societies version 2, is exactly the same as it has been. The only difference is that I've made a few changes from version 1 to version 2, predominantly is to remove, again, non-characters that are non-DNS label compatible, such as dashes that were already contained in the human readable form, and or forward slashes. There were a few other variants that were removed per instruction with Stefan, but it does identify the National Society and what action had taken place. So with that, before we move over to variant index, does anybody have any questions about how this definitive list is taking shape? And I'll just close before I open it up that, you know, the intent after today's call, after we review through this the variant index, once we've reached agreement on some of these outstanding actions, then I'll go through and make these additional edits, and hopefully by the close of the consensus call, we can say that we are at the true definitive list that would then be passed on for public comment for the council to consider. So any questions about the list thus far? Hearing and seeing none. So you no longer have to review the spreadsheet in front of you. From now on, we'll be reviewing the document located in the Adobe Connect room. And I believe you have scroll control, so I'll try to be diligent about Greg, I see your hand is raised. Please go ahead.
One question on the spreadsheet, maybe I just missed this. There are a number of cells that are colored in yellow throughout the spreadsheet, row D. Can you tell us what the significance of that is? Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. We'll go through those in a minute, but in short, the reason why column D and certain cells are highlighted in yellow is that when Stefan engaged with each national society, their use of a particular formal name, but in their official language, they were requesting also become reserved. And the reason why it's highlighted in yellow is that the Red Cross isn't asking for the English version of that to be reserved, but the translation in that official language. And we'll talk about that as one of the variants here in a few seconds. Okay. David, I saw your hand raised, if you'd like to go ahead. Okay, go stand. All right, so again, we're looking at the document, which is basically we're calling the either the variant index or the variant principles. The first few pages are an outline of the variations that we've seen submitted in the spreadsheet itself. And I should note that the pages 2 through 1, 2, and parts of 3 up to the remaining issues section has also been pasted into the draft or proposed recommendations document. We're just duplicating it here to, in terms of not having to switch between documents as a whole lot. But what we have discussed before are, you know, that, you know, pretty much acronyms and initials are not in scope of what this reconvened group is about. The use of articles and prepositions of the and of. We talked about the use of the term association, but only when it's a part of a specific name in question, such as the Belgian Red Cross or the Brazilian Red Cross Association. There were a few instances of authority, but the same kind of general rule applies that this particular term, which isn't used much, but it is used in connection with the country of that national society, descriptive words like headquarters, national, Democratic and Republic have also been identified. And then, of course, the biggest variant, the use of the term society, which we've seen on the other list, that we've seen in the definitive list quite frequently. Starting on page two, there's also a list of, I'll get to you in just a second. Heather, please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Barry. It's Heather. I'm happy to wait if you would prefer to take questions when you get to the end. Entirely up to you.
No, please go ahead if it's about the previous section and the descriptive work.
It is indeed, Barry. It is indeed. I'm realizing a point here in relation to what I think is only two names, but I have concerns about headquarters in that it seems to me that that's a different type of descriptive term than the others that we see on page one, and it seems to me that that goes beyond the scope of society names, unless it is indeed the case that that is a society name, and maybe that's, we need confirmation back on that. I have some concerns about that one, and let me preface or let me end my comments by saying, much as Chuck said, these comments are entirely in my personal capacity. They're not in relation to any group or anything that I belong to. So thanks.
Thank you, Heather. I will note that it is only the Red Cross Society of China that is requesting the use of this term. Again, it is in connection with the terms Red Cross, Red Crescent, and the country or China in this particular case. Stefan, would you happen to have any response to Heather about the rationale for why this term is included?
Yes, hello, Stefan Hankins, ICRC, for the record. Can you hear me?
Sir, we can.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Good afternoon to all. This is a question that I myself did raise. In fact, I did raise this to the attention of our regional delegation in Beijing, and you know, mentioning that, and I was explained that that is, you know, a specific request from the Chinese Red Cross because of their particular structure. So I wasn't able to get a very substantive reply to that. But I understand that, you know, the Chinese Red Cross, because of its, you know, internal organization, there is a common reference to them, you know, as referencing their headquarters as opposed to their branches. So indeed, I think it's the only case that we have, and I do appreciate Heather's comment. It's true that, you know, for the other designations, whether it's association, authority, organization, you know, we're talking about it, you know, a word that refers to the structure. Headquarters is a different case. So it's up to the group to decide, you know. But we've had several exchanges with the Chinese Red Cross, because I was also checking following the last conversation that we had, you know, why I think it was Red House had been included, and so, you know, we went back to them, and they you know, saying, you know, recalling the criteria. And, you know, this is the list. The list came back again with the word headquarters, and I've tried to clarify. This is all that I have as an explanation. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. And so if I'm interpreting this correctly, is it is more of a general ask and perhaps not it's not recognized as a formal combination of their official or common name, but perhaps it is used either on their website or letterhead or something along those lines, if that's a fair statement. So I do concur with Stefan's statement. You know, this is probably one of these outliers that the working group needs to make a decision on to advance this forward. Is there any chance that we can, you know, I'll note that Heather mentioned in the chat that from her personal perspective that the use of the term is kind of outside of the other bull set here, and as she raised her hand, so I'll turn it over to her. Please go ahead.
Sorry, thank you. I suppose it's a follow-up query, which is to say, is this set of principles that's documented here, am I right in thinking that this is the set of principles that would be used to approve future names as well?
Yes, that is correct. The key goal of this variant index is to pretty much reduce any chance of ICANN and or the GNSO being in, you know, being put in any kind of difficult decision area if a new society were placed on. At least there would be some guardrails or some boundaries about what these new identifiers might look like, as if for anything else, just to make the ease of implementation to ultimate reservation that much easier without any ambiguity or as little as possible.
Thanks, Barry. It's Heather. Just responding to that, in that case, that furthers my concern here about the lack of consistency with the other principles. So I appreciate the difficulty in getting substantive feedback back from a particular organization, but you've correctly read my views into the record. Thanks.
Thank you, Heather. For those in the Adobe Connect room, hopefully, you know, we can try to make the decision moving a little bit forward here. If you agree with Heather that headquarters should be removed as one of the special variant criteria, Greg, please go ahead.
Just a question while I'm considering this. I see that some of the names in column D are in italics, especially ones like Red Cross Society headquarters. What does that signify? Is that also signifying it's only a translation and it's not actually being sought in English, or does it signify something else other than that? Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. To my knowledge, it does not. I believe there were several versions of the spreadsheet kind of flying around, and it's like because column C is in italics, which is just to identify the formal name of the National Society, I think what happened is when this was being completed and new rows were being added for additional variations, it inherited that italicized font. And great. I guess, is there any objection from those on the call that headquarters should be removed as one of the variant criteria listed on the here on the list? Okay. I'll make sure to document this on the meeting minutes as well. And when I create the next version, I'll make sure to include this in the change control that I've mentioned on the spreadsheet as to why this is removed. All right, so moving along to the page two, section two, which is kind of a shorter version, but it deals with the translations from English into the formal language. And I apologize if you're mowing in the background. It always seems to happen to me that when I lead a call, there's noise here. So basically, again, acronyms and initials are not allowed. Standalone words like Red Cross, Red Crescent, there is the remaining issues that we'll get to in a little bit. You know, there are translations, transliterations, if there's a need to ensure that all entries are direct translations or translations of or otherwise the same as the relevant name in English per column one, or essentially what would be column Delta. And then the use of the words association will strike out headquarters, National Republican Society, kind of has the same rules in English form. And then there's also the third section, which is just additional criteria that, again, this is kind of shaping the human readable form, which is, gets into first letters, the official names, commonly used names, and official languages to provide kind of those guiding rails there. And then section four is basically error correction and additions and deletions. So I think just a little bit of conversation needs to be had here. The rationale for these three little subsections is after we have created this definitive list, that this gets adopted by the GNSO Council and eventually by the ICANN board, and then is sent over to GDD for implementation. One of the things, you know, one of our main goals by being diligent with this definitive list is to mitigate or reduce to near zero potential for errors as these human readable identifiers are converted into DNS labels. And again, I'll just to remind the group, what happened with the temporary reservation of some of these names is that I believe there was a string in Russian where there was a carriage return in the translation of that National Society name, and a generic term, I think just Society, wound up being reserved. So the point is that we're trying to mitigate that as much as possible. However, myself mostly and a few others that don't understand every language out there in the world, I don't think that there's a meaningful way that we could confirm all of the various translations or transliterations of the English version of the formal or common names. Therefore, there just if in case there is a chance that there is an error, these three little subsections are meant to try to mitigate those in as fast as possible a way as we move through implementation. So error correction, again, they can only be corrected through the submission of a formal request to ICANN.org that describes in detail the nature of the error. So, for example, if the registry operator of .mocfa identifies the error, he would immediately communicate it to GDD or ICANN.org. ICANN.org would then communicate to the GAC and the GNSO advising of that particular quick error correction and thus making the change to the specification 5 list. And that communication would be quickly pushed out to the registry operators. Same for additions, the opposite for additions. Essentially, once we have this definitive list and it goes to implementation, there won't be any additions to any of the identifiers listed within the spreadsheet. That's not to say that, again, there is already a procedure for future changes or future additions of national societies by leveraging the leveraging the procedure as noted in the policy that will go effective September of 2018 of the prior IGO policy implementation. And then, of course, then the same applies for patients. If for some reason, hopefully there won't be, either through implementation or one of the national societies comes across one of the particular strings that they don't want reserved, the same quick process would apply about deletions. So before I go into remaining issues, are there any questions or concerns about those last four little sections that talked about translations, additions, deletions, or changes? Okay. Hearing and seeing none. Okay, remaining issues. The first one, which is the use of Red Cross or Red Crescent as a standalone term in certain national non-English languages, in some cases with the definitive article of the or Red Cross Society or Red Crescent Society. Stefan had provided a rationale to the list, and I'm sure he can repeat it here if need be on the phone. But in short, the use of these terms are commonly known by that respective national society, and in general, they're not asking for the English version of that term to be reserved, which would kind of bypass the policy or that set of strings that was already implemented. But the request is that English translation of that country's national language could be, or they're asking for reservation of that. And so the fourth or third bullet here on this item number one for remaining issues. There are a number of countries, it looks like about 15 or so, that are listed where this kind of request is taking place. And as Greg had asked earlier, those are the ones that remain on the version 2 list that are still highlighted in yellow. So I will stop here and open up the floor for any questions or concerns or how the working group should progress with these. I think in general, without coming to a conclusion, it's kind of the same nature of discussion that we just had about headquarters. So I'll open up the floor. Heather, please go ahead.
Sorry, forgive me. I don't want to see that I'm the only one that puts up my hand. So if anyone else would like to speak, I don't want to seize their opportunity. I suppose I have the very same concerns that I raised earlier, and that Mary's very apt in the chat. You know, in the absence of a combination with the country name, I think that. And yeah, and you've given a helpful, example there, Barry. So I think I understand the point that you're trying to make. And is there a way it can be avoided? Thank you.
I have Stefan and then Greg in the queue. Please go ahead, Stefan. Stefan,
Greg,
if you're speaking, we cannot hear you.
Yes. Okay. So I can. You know, this is a very different question to the previous one about headquarters, because in fact, this really, Stefan Hankins, ICRC, this brings us really to the essence of the whole discussion that we have, which is that, you know, at the at the source of the conversation is the protection of the words Red Cross, Red Crescent, Red Crystal under international humanitarian law treaties. So, you know, at the outset of this conversation, we didn't fight for the names to be protected in each and every language, and we settled for the six UN languages protection of those words, Red Cross, for example. But under the treaties and under the national laws of in multiple jurisdictions, the words Red Cross are or should be protected under domestic law in the national language in the first place. So, you know, when a national legislation such as, let's say, the Lithuanian legislation on the protection of the emblem refers to the protection of the emblems and of the names, you know, obviously the legislation is in Lithuanian, and the spirit of the international law norm is that, you know, these names be protected in each and every language. So I do want to make this point, you know, clear that, you know, that's already a first argument, which, you know, I have to position from a legal point of view. This being said, yes, indeed, you know, the justification that we put in writing and that I sent several times was that, you know, at least these names should be protected. The words Red Cross, Red Crescent, Red Crystal, they should be protected in other national languages where they correspond to a usual name of the national society. And this has been said to me in a number by several national societies. I was in Nairobi recently, and I even asked the taxi driver who was taking me back to the airport. I asked him, you know, is the National Society known in Swahili by the word, you know, how is it known in Swahili? And he said it's known as Red Cross. It's not known as Kenya Red Cross. You know, so, you know, that's the justification I think we should usefully accept. And then it's only, I think, Barry, it's only 15 national societies which actually put, you know, made that request. But I'm very positive, you know, that, for example, in Kenya, the National Society is really not known with its full name. It's known by the words Red Cross in Swahili. So that's my, you know, I think there we, you know, these are two important legitimations for keeping this. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Before you go, and I turn it over to Greg, Mary posted into the chat. Is that something you could respond to on the phone? Basically, Mary is asking Stefan, is it possible for the Red Cross to verify that for all the countries for we have listed a request to reserve Red Crescent or Red Cross without a country name, that these terms are indeed protected as such in the relevant national language? So please go ahead, Stefan.
Thank you. My screen is gone, but I took. It's something that we can indeed that we can do, but again, you know, these are. The treaties we're looking at, the first Geneva Convention of 1949, and you know, it's universally ratified, and in fact, you know, the states have an obligation to implement domestically, you know, the obligations they're under. So they would have, by virtue of being party to the treaty, the obligation to actually protect the words Red Cross, Red Crescent, Red Crystal, you know, in their national languages by virtue of them being a high contracting party. So I don't want to go into too much detail. You know, so the obligation anyway is there. It's true that, you know, some legis- in some legal orders there is a need for, you know, national implementing legislation. If it is useful, I mean, of course, we can look through the laws of those 15 countries and reply. But frankly, you know, in principle, you know, the protection should, in fact, apply in every legal order, even if, you know, national legislation, at least in common law states, and national implementing legislation might be required. So that's a complicated answer. If there is an insistence, then, you know, we can indeed verify and, you know, send you, you know, the national laws in force. Normally we have them at least in English and in French. So if that's needed, we can send. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stefan. And almost, Greg, I just want to read in for the record that Heather Forrest had mentioned the domestic ratification would give us the national legislation that Mary asked about. No. And then Jorge Cano had just confirmed we had already checked the international protection of standards, standalone words, if he recalls correctly, on initial debates. And Mary responded in that regard. That's why those terms are already protected under existing permanent consensus policy in the six UN languages, she thinks. Question here is whether the reservation must be extended to additional languages, ergo Afghani, Malay, Dutch, and Swedish. Greg, you had your hand up for a while. Apologies. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Greg Chapman, for the record. I think behind all of this is the necessity, really, of creating a rules-based system, such as has been outlined in the document on the screen, and thus to have rules that apply to each. And I think the rule that's suggested here, or the reason that this discussion is suggested here, is it ties back to the need to have a rule that covers these particular requests. So I would support the need to see the national legislation to see whether these kind of more generic forms are actually protected as such. Otherwise, we're just creating another rule or creating a whole list of exceptions to the rule anytime we feel like it. If we're going to create a different rule, then we need to know what it is. And if we're going to create exceptions, I'm against it, except if we have some very specific discussions about very specific exceptions. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. I'm just going to mute for one second. All right. Apologies for that. I'll just also note for the record that Jorge Concio mentioned in the chat that the international protection is not restricted to six UN languages as far as he can recall. It makes little sense not to protect them in the national languages while protecting them in the six UN one. Stefan, I see your hand is still raised. Did you want to respond to any of this? Okay, hearing none, we'll get your hand lowered in just a minute. No, please go ahead, Stefan.
Yeah. Sorry, it was a mistake, but I will take the floor. I think that, you know, it doesn't make very much sense, you know, to contest this. I mean, but if it's needed, again, you know, we will provide, you know, relevant extracts from the national laws of those 15 countries. But for the record, I do want to position that, you know, it is an implication of the international treaties that ground this whole conversation, that these names be protected in each and every language. So, for the record, I think it's important for me to position that. As regards, looking to see, if it's Swedish Red Cross, etc., I already know that, I will find the provisions that we require. For the 15 national societies or national legal orders concerned, I'm not sure, but we can commit to do that. Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, Stefan. For me, as consulting with staff, I'm kind of at a loss about a next step as it regards to this. So what I suggest is that hopefully as we advance towards the rest of this call and we have a discussion about launching a consensus call, we can draw this out specifically and see where the working group stands. I think that there's both sides to the argument, but in terms of trying to wrap this up, a decision needs to be made somehow, and staff's not in a position to make that decision. So, like I said, we'll move this on to the list as part of the consensus call, and we'll see how that plays out. So in the interest of time, I'm going to move forward on to the next one, number two. This one should be easy. If you'll have reviewed through the spreadsheet, this is part of the change log that specifically there were Spanish translations of the term Red Cross, which was already translated as part of the original recommendations. Unfortunately, I neglected to highlight that this isn't resolved, so I think we can move on in terms of getting to the definitive list. Moving on to page four, number three specifically called out two countries, China and Japan. As I mentioned earlier, Stefan had reached out to both of those national societies. He did send in updated versions of both of those societies, and they have been incorporated into the version 4 Excel spreadsheet. So I asked the working group to take a look at those. Again, personally, I can't confirm that whether Red Society or Red Club or Red Day had been removed. But Stefan did mention on the call earlier when he collaborated with those national societies, that the translations of those terms didn't actually, in fact, mean those. So I'll consider this quasi-resolved, but we should take a look at this. And again, if for some reason, because most of us can't speak Chinese or Japanese, I'll revert us back to kind of the mini exception procedure should we run across any errors or that we uncover that a certain translation is really reserving more of a generic string than what we're trying to accomplish here. Not seeing hands or anything in the chat. Moving on to number four, there is this the following request in Arabic seem identical. Syria as the Red Crescent, Egypt as the Egyptian Red Crescent, and Palestine with and without the. And note also that Red Crescent in Arabic is already reserved under the 2014 consensus policy. And this is really kind of combined with number five, the next one. And I don't believe that there's going to be a concern about this, but several of the national societies interchangeably will use the country name versus the example is Ethiopia versus Ethiopian or Egypt versus Egyptian, and that those two can often be interchangeably used when making reference to that particular national society. Staff wanted to confirm with the working group if this is a acceptable variant principle that we've been having the discussion on. If there are any objections to the use of those, please state so now on the list. I mean, by raising your hand or something in the chat. Hearing and seeing none. Okay, so number six is a combination of some various examples that we just wanted to highlight for the list or for the working group here. Basically, there were other specific requests that do not fit any of the above rules or categories. So, for example, the Russian National Society includes the All-Russian Public Organization, Russian Red Cross. Lithuania has Lithuanian Red Cross Organization. I believe that one is acceptable because we had just talked about the use of the country or the ethnicity of the country, or Lithuania versus Lithuanian and the potential use of organization. Kyrgyzstan included Red Crescent National Society of the Kyrgyz Republic Public Association, which kind of starts to get out of the bright line we're trying to draw here. Red Cross in Ukraine, we haven't talked about the use of the use of the word in, as in pointing to a particular location. And then as well, the Belgian Red Cross had also requested Belgian Red Cross French-speaking community and the Belgian Red Cross German-speaking community. And then lastly, the British Red Cross request in English for a Red Cross charity. So, again, you know, these are very targeted examples that do fall kind of outside of the bright line that the group is trying to get to here. I think the same positions apply, repeating from what Greg and Mary were stating about, you know, is there documentation that these variations are recognized in the national law of that country, even though they may not be recognized by any legal instrument, are the uses of these phrases still commonly used? And because they do contain the term Red Cross, thereby they should should be protected based under the Geneva Convention of 1949. I see that Heather Forrest mentions in the chat, what would be the future implications of these outliers in the six that are identified here? And would these be acceptable models for future names? That's a difficult one to answer. I'll try taking a stab at this, is that, you know, what we actually see here, with the exception of using, you know, the country name or the use of the term organization or including Red Cross or Red Crescent within that combination of name, none of these six, this variation criteria, at least as I can understand, would be singled out or identified in the variation principle, the variant principles that we have listed up in the document. That's not to say that future editions by a national society would include some of these examples that may be outside of the bright line. But I would note that in future cases that when a new society is added, that the process would flow through the GAC and be communicated to ICANN.org and the GNSO for, you know, a review of those formal and common names. And if, you know, there were an extreme outlier, there's an ability for input from the community as to whether those should be included or not. Greg Chatton, I see your hand is raised. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Barry. I'm wondering whether any or all of these six can, in fact, be fit under any of the above rules if we had further information, or if there is another, or if there's another way that we can state a rule or rules for these. Absent that, you know, I would want a specific justification, an explanation for why this needs to be added to the protected list. But first, you know, looking at the rule of commonly known, commonly used names, I'm wondering if, in fact, any of these are, in fact, the way it is commonly used. You know, we don't know the syntax of Ukrainian, but Red Cross in Ukraine might be a way or the way that in Ukrainian one would refer to the Ukrainian Red Cross. Similarly, the Russian version, now maybe again that is kind of the way Russians, you know, construct that sort of name. So, you know, none of these, other than the request for Red Cross charity standing alone, strike me as odd. And knowing what's going on in Belgium with regard to languages, I'm not surprised that they would be language divided, although I'm surprised it's German and French. Then again, what do I know about the Belgian language spats? But in any case, I'm just wondering if these really are as outlierish as they seem to be, because what I don't want to create is a rule that outliers are kind of allowed without any real justification, without fitting under a rule, because then the exception swallows the rule. So if we could explore perhaps a bit whether these are in fact commonly used, you know, logical requests, or if there's a request based on, say, a high degree of prior abuse, maybe that is the Red Cross charity request. That's another potential rule I'm a little wary of throwing that out there, but I can understand that, you know, once, twice, three times bitten, one hopes to get rid of the future opportunity for hanky-panky. And, you know, and we're really, you know, looking at a very specific, you know, set of circumstances here with the Red Cross, you know, that leads us, you know, to this at all, but recognize that while Red Cross is almost uniquely used for the Red Cross, it's not completely uniquely used. So, you know, we need to be careful. But if we can be careful and rules-based and include these because we understand why they're being included, then my comfort level goes way up with this section. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. So, and the group is welcome to correct me if I'm misstating this, but what I'm hearing is, you know, for these one-off examples that prevent us from creating a bright line in our variation principles or rules is that for the GAC and Stefan are citing their position that the use of any term of Red Cross, Red Crescent, Red Crystal, they should be protected based on the Geneva Convention or the national legislation of that in that country where that society exists, versus the other side of the position that these start to get outside of, you know, or creating this definitive list or this specific criteria by which new names can be reserved, that the only way that some of these exceptions would be allowable is if there's documented proof that they are, in fact, these specific identifiers are protected by specifically by national legislation. As Greg Shetton notes in the text or in the chat, that we're protected organization names, not terms. So I'm going to turn it over to Stefan for his response, and then likely would to remove on. We've got about 55 minutes remaining left in the call. Stefan, please go ahead.
Thank you. Stefan Hankins for the ICRC for the record. A couple of initial comments. One of them is that obviously we can't have a criteria that the designations be all specifically protected under domestic law. That just doesn't, it obviously doesn't fly. I mean, we don't have a legislation that protects, you know, the words Red Cross, the official name of the National Society, and then, you know, the usual names which we have agreed to reserve. So, you know, that's not going to be possible. The second point is that as regards these six examples that are here, they all include the words Red Cross, so they're not outside of that criteria. And second, you know, if you look at each of them, I think there is a legitimacy for their protection. I mean, Ukrainian Red Cross in Ukraine, I think indeed I have a feeling, speaking Russian, that that's probably also linked indeed to national syntax. With the British Red Cross request, I had a lengthy discussion with the legal advisor of the British Red Cross on this, and you know, the British Red Cross is actually incorporated under British under UK legislation as a charity, and therefore, you know, the National Society is known under this, or, you know, there's an immediate association of the name to that. For the Belgian case, indeed, in the document that Barry sent, indeed, it's obviously it's French, German, Flemish, or French, Flemish, and German, and not just French and German. This is indeed, you know, linked to the specific context of Belgium and the specific structure of the Belgian Red Cross, which has, you know, quite a level of autonomy of its branches along the linguistic communities in Belgium. They have separate headquarters, etc. When we had the conversation in Denmark, and I didn't go back today, but I went back a few months ago to the conversation that we had, I think we did have, you know, I at least very clearly stated that we would have, or we would likely have to recognize some specific exceptions for specific contexts. And I think, for example, for the Belgian case, they came back with that request, you know, very firmly. That, for example, we would consider, you know, really fit squarely in this notion that we need to have a level of flexibility. So I don't know how you want to reflect it the criteria that, you know, will be circulated, but I think that, you know, the necessity to recognize exceptions, which, you know, again, you know, I had made quite clear in what I said during the Danish the discussion we had during the ICANN meeting in Denmark. I think here we do have to have some level of flexibility to accommodate, you know, the requests of the National Society. And again, you know, each of these six cases has, you know, the different legitimacies. But I think here, you know, these are ones that I think we could safely agree to and probably would require to agree to. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. I appreciate that response, and also in the interest of time, so we're going to move on, but how I'm going to suggest we proceed, and Thomas can certainly overrule me if I misspeak. Similar to the previous one about translations of Red Cross or Red Crest and other languages other than the UN 6 that have already been reserved, when the consensus call goes out, I'm now seeing kind of two channels of the consensus call. One's going to be around the definitive list, and there are basically two subsections that will be a part of that. One is whether the terms Red Crescent, Red Crestal, those kinds of terms can be reserved in other national languages, and will produce examples that are easily readable for the working group to make a decision on. And then the second kind of subcategory are these outliers that may require some flexibility or exception that Stefan is referring to. And what I think I'll do specifically is I will go to the transcript, and Stefan, I will extract what you just explained to the working group here so that those that aren't on the call can make this connection about why these national societies are asking for the flexibility and for, you know, these extraordinary outliers. But ultimately, in terms of trying, we have to move this group forward and come to some sort of conclusion. It's up for the working group to define its support or non-support for these two categories. It's ultimately up for Thomas as chair to determine what the consensus level will be for these. Then, you know, we move into a consensus call time frame. And once there's agreement or once we've moved past those, then we'll move this into public comment, and we can get feedback from the community. So that completes the review of this particular document. Moving on into the rest of the agenda, which is to review the preliminary recommendations. When I sent out the agenda, I also included a fresh document that contains draft recommendations. I know that the group hasn't had a lot of time to review through these, but I'll walk through the structure of them. I won't read out the details, I'm basically helping to try to define why they're structured the way that they are. And then we can open up this for any discussion or concern about any of the proposed recommendations. Again, this is only an extract of the initial report. Mary and I are still working on that draft, but these proposed recommendations are at the heart of that report. In essence, the initial report is going to be structured so that the first portion is an executive summary highlighting the main sections of the report, mostly pointing to very brief summary statements of the proposed recommendations. Then the structure of the report is essentially the document that you see before you in the Adobe Connect room. Then the third section of the document will be to essentially document without creating thousands of pages the deliberations of the working group. And right now we see it as two sections. The first section is kind of a high-level summary about the deliberations regarding the legal basis on why the National Society terms and the International Committee of Red Cross Societies and the IFRC, why those are protected. And as generically discussed earlier, although much more involved, is circling around the Geneva Convention of 1949, et cetera. So there will be a high-level summary of those deliberations and the legal basis on why the working group agreed against that legal basis for protection. And then the secondary section will be the deliberations around the creating the definitive list, which is essentially what we went through and will probably most likely refer back to the final variation principles document that is included as a part of one of the recommendations, but we just want to make sure that we capture those well. And then the last section will be background of what led us to the reconvened group being started, and of course links to things that that were to prior working groups even before the reconvened group started. And then lastly is a list of those members' participation in the working group calls, as well as a distinction between whether they're members or observers. Okay, so moving into this document, essentially again, this is, I think there's five or six proposed recommendations here. Each recommendation after it contains three components. First will be the recommendation itself, which is what will be published in the future GNSO resolution should the council, adopt these recommendations. The second area is the level of consensus on that recommendation, and I will go ahead and note here, as of now, staff has put in full consensus. That's not to say that our chair, Thomas Rickert, has designated this consensus level. I did go ahead and publish full consensus in here because all the deliberations to date, I have not seen any dissent against the two main aspects of what this group was tasked to do. First, understand the legal basis for the protections. There seemed to be agreement that, yes, these terms should be protected. The second is to create a definitive list and criteria by how that definitive list was put together. If in your review of these, if you disagree with the term of full consensus, please state why or list your objection out. And then the third subsection of a recommendation is the recommendation details. This section itself would not be a part of the GNSO resolution that moves or advances this forward. However, they are details to further explain or attach components to the recommendation, and most importantly is for GDD staff, should they implement these recommendations if they're adopted by the board, that it provides them with as much guidance as possible to streamline and expedite the implementation, so that the implementation review team has very little to work on. So that's kind of the structure for each one of the recommendations. Recommendation, level of consensus, and details. Okay, recommendation one. Stefan, I see your hand is up. Is that an old hand, or did you want to intervene on anything? Great, thank you, sir. So recommendation one, I'm not going to read the full text here, but the essence of this is to that the reconvened working group confirms the GNSO Council's instruction back to this working group on the proposed amendment outlined in its resolution. And in short, basically it's 192 national societies. But in short, the council instructed this reconvened working group to confirm an amendment to the old working group's recommendation that originally had recommended that these terms or these identifiers only be supplied with the 90 days claims service, which was essentially scoped to identifiers from the original working group. The proposed amendment here is that those identifiers with a definitive list be reserved as commonly identified to a specification 5 of the base GTLD registry agreement. And, based on the deliberations of the working group, there seems to be support on the legal basis for those protections. And noting Jorge's chat or comment in the chat, Stefan's comments be read out. I do have that handy. And I'll note that in the recommendation details and just before the call, Stefan did submit comments against or regarding this document in the draft of proposed recommendations, and his comment was basically asking whether the reservation of these identifiers are they extended to the so-called legacy TLDs? And yes, the answer to that is absolutely yes. The original scope of the original IGO-INGO working group was protection of identifiers in all GTLDs, and so. It was a nuance that from the original IGO, INGO, PDP, that these particular identifiers would only receive claims protection, essentially that only applied to the new GTLDs launching from 2013 forward as they completed their launching programs. But now that this particular working group is likely to convert or amend its original recommendation to reserve these, then yes, that is for all GTLDs, and yes, they would be applied to legacy TLDs, some of which have older agreements that do not specifically point to a specification 5 like the new GTLD registry agreement. As those expire and are renegotiated, they'll likely convert one way or another. But one way or another, those legacy TLDs do point to a reservation list. And in implementation, those would be separately updated with the same identifiers that are reserved here. Now, I would like to make a very important point for this group, I believe most of you understand. Let's hypothetically say, American Red Cross, it's a string that would, in the new GTLDs, because it's been temporarily reserved since 2012 or 2013, that it has not been registered in any of the new GTLDs. However, in the legacy TLDs, at least for ComNet and org, and I don't know specifically, there's a high probability that term is already registered. The only way that term will become reserved is if over the course of its natural domain life cycle that it expires, enters pending delete, and, or I should say, it expires, goes through its redemption grace periods. Nobody registers it or picks it up in the aftermarket. It hits pending delete, by which then the registry would reserve that name. So, which matches the implementation of the other previous recommendations as a part of the policy effective date on September 2018. So I just wanted to make that point, and that is kind of the essence for the recommendation details. Any questions or comments regarding recommendation number one? Great. Moving on to page two, which is recommendation two. This one's pretty easy. Stefan, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Marian, for this explanation, because it was indeed one of the questions that I had. I personally, you know, not being versed in these issues, especially from a technical point of view, I didn't understand necessarily, you know, the conclusion that you've just spelled out from the narrative that is under recommendation one. So, you know, if everybody within the group considers that, you know, this is sufficiently clear, then, you know, it's very well for me. But I didn't. It was not you know, fully understandable to me from the narrative that is there. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. I'll try one more time, and if you still have confusion, I'm glad to explain it on the list, or we can have a chat after the call or sometime. So, there are 17 legacy TLDs, COM, NET, ORG, PRO, BIZ, INFO, PRO, several others. Up to this point, none of the terms that are being discussed here were ever instructed to be reserved, even temporarily, by the actions of the board in response to GAC advice. And because those TLDs have been delegated for many, many, many years, there is a possibility that some of the identifiers that are within the scope of our discussions here could have already been registered. So AmericanRedCross.com, I don't know for sure, but let's hypothetically think, let's assume that it has already been registered in .com. So that name can't be reserved because it's already registered. However, let's just hypothetically assume that AmericanRedCross.org is not registered. When this policy goes into its policy effective date, PIR, as the manager of .org, would immediately reserve AmericanRedCross.org because it's not registered, it's not in use. They would remove it from registration via their EPP systems. However, AmericanRedCross.com, because it is already registered by a registrant, maybe it is the American Red Cross, maybe it's Joe Bob from Texas that was hoping to sell it to your organization someday. The implementation of this policy, this reservation policy, cannot interfere with the natural course of the domain name lifecycle, meaning that from the policy effective date, ICANN or its contracted parties could not take that name away from the registrant, regardless of its use or how long it's been registered. The only way AmericanRedCross.com, again, hypothetically assuming that it's registered now, and that it's not being used by American Red Cross, is that if it enters what we call the deletion cycle, meaning that the domain would expire by such and such date, it has to naturally progress what is called a redemption period, or what allows the registrant to renew the name, should they not have missed being notified that it expires. and then only then until it enters the final phase of this life cycle called pending delete is when that registry, in this case VeriSign, could take action and then reserve the name, thus withholding it from registration ever again. So I know that that's a little bit confusing. Again, happy to take this offline to explain in details, but that is the
name. That's fine. Understood.
All right, great.
Thank you very much. That's helpful.
Okay, moving on to recommendation two. Again, this is just a confirmation of the GNSO Council's resolution that an exception procedure be put in place for the Red Cross. There was a little bit of deliberations by the group about this. I believe staff had said on several occasions that this is something that was already considered in the protection of IGO, INGO identifiers and all GTLDs policy, the consensus policy that is effective 1 August 2018. I was mistaken earlier. Again, there is an exception procedure loaded into that consensus policy. In short, should any national society want to register the name that has been reserved, they would essentially contact the registry that they're interested in registering that particular name. They can unlock the name and then get it registered should they choose to use it. So that, in essence, is mostly just to confirm the council's resolution and then inform the group and the community that there's already an exception procedure available. We've got 29 minutes, so I really want to kind of move through these. The third recommendation, it talks about the error corrections, additions, and deletions. Essentially, that's just reinforcing what we discussed when we went through the variant principles document. Again, this is mostly around the notion that should any of the definitive list need to be error corrected in implementation, that you know, that there's some flexibility to make those changes to avoid any errors or duplications. Fourth recommendation, this section is basically, as Mary noted here, additional recommendations in relation to the scope of Red Cross names to be reserved. Recommendation four, future changes to the definitive list of Red Cross National Societies created as a result of this policy amendment process and be made in accordance with the following criteria. So as noted, in the prior document, this is a cut and paste of what we've been working on. Headquarters, as we discussed, will be removed from this list. And other than that, I think the list will pretty much remain the same. This variant index, I think, will pretty much remain the same, except removing headquarters. And then we still have the two categories that I mentioned about the definitive list itself, which is, I believe, the next recommendation. Recommendation five is essentially the notification that if there are future national societies created, this is the process by which that will occur. And I just realized for this section, when we get into this section two, Stefan had made a comment about this section, that this should remain explicitly limited to the scope of names which the working group agreed to include within its deliberations, an example, without prejudice to temporary protections of other Red Cross, Red Crescent identifiers that are additionally covered under the existing temporary protections agreed by the board. This is another conversation which was excluded from the working group's preview. So just to provide some additional insight into that. So in essence, there's kind of two categories of Red Cross names that are already implemented here. First are those recommendations that were consistent with GAC advice that have been implemented. So for example, Red Cross, Red Crescent, Red Crystal, Red Lion, and the UN 6, those terms are permanently reserved as per the consensus policy adopted by the board that was consistent with GAC advice. Nothing we are doing here will undo any of that. However, there are a set of National Society names that were temporarily reserved as a result of actions from the ICANN board in 2013 or 2014. I think as Stefan noted in a prior comment, essentially this subcategory, this second category, will be deleted, and what we've created here is this definitive list will replace only those that still remain, quote unquote, temporarily reserved. So I think that should satisfy the comment that was listed there. All right, so back to Stefan, did you want to speak?
Yes, please, Barry. Just Stefan Hankins, ICRC, for the record. I observed this issue in two places. One of them is the commentary to recommendation one, and now here where Barry notes it. It is said that in the last paragraph of the commentary to resolution one, that the list that you know is being prepared of National Society's names and ITAS in Federation names will either replace or need to be reconciled with the definitive list of identifiers. And I think this relates to the comment that Barry was referring to. The temporary reservations that have been agreed by the board, they include a number of identifiers which are not covered by the list that we are discussing now, the list of National Society and ICRC and Federation. There were additional names which the board agreed at the time to temporarily reserve, and this includes the acronym. So I know that acronyms is a very, very complicated question, and so I'm not wanting to position it here or to discuss it here. It has been said many times that acronyms and or initials are outside the purview of this group, and that's why I'm not bringing them. But what I'm saying is that, to me, the list that will be submitted for comments and then hopefully approved by the GNSO Council, that list should not replace. It should be reconciled, but it should not replace, because certain names that were temporarily reserved are outside the purview of consideration of this working group. That's a point that I would like to position, so that there's so that we already be able to reflect on that. I hope what I just said is clear. Thank you.
Greg, please.
Greg Chatton, for the record. Stefan was clear, but also very troubling. This is a major problem. I had understood that this group would be dealing with all of the outstanding Red Cross-related protection issues, and that no temporary lists relating to Red Cross issues would survive. This was supposed to wrap this up. Those temporary lists were created. They were temporary for a reason, which was the reason that this group was sidelined for some period of time and not dealing with anything, unfortunately. Now we're back in the saddle, and we should be resolving all of these issues. I had not understood that there would somehow be some other list of temporary protections for which there was no plan on how to either make them permanent or make them disappear. I thought this was the process and this was the place. And I did not have an understanding that that was somehow outside our purview and would survive our discussion. So I'm quite troubled here. I hate to see this come up at the 11th hour, but the idea that there is some other list out there that is, you know, somehow being preserved in spite of all of our work on taking the temporary and eradicating it feels like a real problem, maybe even a bait and switch. So I'm hoping maybe that staff or Thomas can clear up where we stand here, because it's like a quite a big difference between what I expected the outcome to be. And maybe I'm just confused, but I'd like to know that other than from those who have a vested interest in preserving those lists, regardless of the will of the communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Okay, so hopefully I can put some fears and troubles to the wayside. I pasted into the chat a link to the current reserve names exit list. This is the list by which registry operators use to implement the DNS label protections into their EPP systems. At the very top of this list, and this is the version that is a part of the consensus policy with the policy effective date of 1 August, and GDD staff went to great lengths to separate out different aspects of this reservation list across the different types of organizations. The first section is the IOC that's been implemented already. The second section is specific identifiers of Red Cross and Red Crescent movement. That has been implemented as a recommendation based on the GNSO working group's recommendation that was consistent with GAC advice. Then there's a third section, International Red Cross, Red Crescent Movement, and the National Red Cross, Red Crescent Society names. So you will see a list of, there are four acronyms there, and then secondarily and most importantly, the scope of this group is the fourth section, the International Red Cross. I should back up. None of those acronyms there or those terms will be touched upon in that third section, but the fourth section that will be quote-unquote replaced is that is labeled International Red Cross and Red Crescent Movement, International Committee of the Red Cross, and International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Society names. This entire table will be replaced with what is the definitive list that this group is creating, with the small exception of those acronyms that are listed on this table, because the acronyms are out of scope. But this list that has been temporarily reserved is really only 190 National Society names with one or two potential, if listed, translations of the English string. the list, the definitive list that we're working on now, eclipses this by a high degree order of magnitude. And there really is no way to reconcile it other than to just to reconcile out the acronyms themselves. But this entire table, once implemented by GDD staff, will be changed based off of this group's definitive list and after it goes through the DNS label algorithm concern. So I hope that helps clarify Stefan's point earlier. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks for the clarification. I guess my recollection was incorrect. I am still concerned in a bigger picture in how the acronym issue is going to be dealt with. I see Mary says that that's with the board, GAC, and GNSO, but that was, you know, having spent years in the original iteration of this group, that was one of the decisions, the policy recommendations of the GNSO that was basically nullified by the temporary actions taken, which have now been temporary for, you know, the entire first round. So hard to call them temporary, except in a much longer range view of what temporary means. So I really hope that we are going to get to that because, you know, maybe, by comparison, maybe this was the low-hanging fruit, but the fact is that that fruit is still on the vine, and to my mind, it's fruit of the poison tree in the sense that it is a temporary spec which has now gone and missed being put into a reconvening of this working group, and so... Is this working group going to be reconvened again to deal with acronyms? Is acronyms somehow going to be, is the will of the GNSO and the policy recommendations that were supposed to be dealt with on an up or down vote by the board going to be thwarted and forever? What is the game here? It makes this group seem a bit like a frippery. By comparison, you know, this is really just dealing with a technical issue. We've missed the policy issue. Thanks.
Thank you for that. I'll note that this group's charter is very specific, and it was strictly the IFRC formal names and the National Red Cross Society's formal or official and common names, and that's the scope only. This group has nothing to do with acronyms or any of the other temporary reservations for IGOs or anything else going on in that regard. I don't know exactly where the acronyms issue stands other than to state that I believe a status will be provided to the GNSO Council at ICANN 62 on where that stands. And it will be considered separately. How it will be considered separately, I'm unable to say other than what Mary notes into the chat. So, again, we only have 12 minutes left. I'd like to try to finish the agenda where possible because we do need to talk about next steps in addition to the recommendations. So, recommendation 5, just to recap, is referring to the variant index or variant principles that we've discussed. Any new societies that are brought forward will follow the process via the GAC notifying the GNSO and ICANN.org. And essentially that is a procedure that is already a part of the consensus policy that will start on the 1st of August. And then lastly, recommendation 6 is again having to do with the correction of any errors as it may relate to translation or spelling. And again, just reconfirms the process by how the GAC would be GAC, ICANN, org, and the GNSO would be notified there. So last thing I'll state about this document is that, again, right now, the way these recommendations are structured with this draft, we've placed the preliminary consensus level at full consensus. Thomas will actually confirm those based on his understanding of the deliberations to date on the list afterwards and when the consensus call is started. If you have any objection to these consensus designations, then please state so in responding. Greg, I still see your hand is up. Did you want to respond to anything else in this document? Thank you. Okay, last part of the agenda is to go through the timeline and next steps. And this was also sent as part of the agenda, and I'm giving you scroll control. So essentially, you know, we've met today. We have time to meet next week if this group feels that we need to, if we can't complete any of the consensus call or any other deliberations over the list. The target is to start the public comment period the 18th of June. That could even go to the 21st of June before I myself fly out. The intent is to start the comment period on or around ICANN 62. We'll be able to brief the council the latest deliberations, and we can at least send along to the council an update or a summary of the proposed recommendations and advertise the comment period as open. There is no dedicated session regarding this reconvened working group, and we'll be working with council leadership to in understanding the GNSO Council's agenda. At the very least, there can be a 5 or 10 minute update on where the group is at, depending on what we see over the consensus call. If there's anything crazy, we can look to expand that discussion. I don't think it's warranted in that so far there seems to be general agreement about where this group is going, and if there is any major disagreements, that can be a part of the public comment period. So on or around the 18th of July, should this group wish to do a 30-day comment period, I would note that this is a little bit complicated in that, first, it was listed within the council resolution that it be 30 days. However, it doesn't specifically note that an ICANN meeting may fall in the middle of that. There's been resistance in the past for having short public comment periods, so the staff recommendation here is that we still move to a 40-day public comment period. That will give the community enough time to understand what was announced at ICANN 62 and give them time to travel back and take time off, consult with their respective stakeholder groups and constituencies, and then create the comments. Thus, that would be the 28th of July before the public comment period would close. However, I would recommend that this group reconvene on the 26th, and hopefully there will be at least a few comments that we can start to review, and we can also start to deliberate or collaborate on any edits to that initial report as we work our way to the final report. The 2nd of August, we will for sure meet to review through all of the comments. Staff will be diligent about trying to force some of the review of those comments over the list. But the main target date that we're shooting for is August 6th. For the motions and documents deadline to send the final report to the council. It does get a little tight towards the end of July and August, but given that there is general agreement about the working group's recommendations, we should be able to get this done and get this off our plates. The last thing that I'd like to mention here, you'll recall I sent an email to the list confirming members for the consensus call. The list that you see before you at the bottom of this schedule are those persons that responded back to that. The only change that will occur, I think when we do send out to the list the formal consensus call from Thomas, he'll predominantly be looking for consensus among this particular list. But however, there are 30 plus other people that are part of the mailing list. If they've been following the deliberations at all, Thomas and I haven't discussed this, but what if somebody on this short list decides to say that they accept the recommendations? We wouldn't neglect that particular input. Predominantly why I'm drawing attention to this, though, is these are the members that have participated the most, that have acknowledged they want to be a part of the consensus call, so that's our primary target area. All the others that are on the list that were previously identified as members, the only thing that will change is the list of membership on the wiki. Those that aren't on this list will be downgraded as observer. However, we will not change how they are associated on the mailing list. It's not really worth the effort since this is coming to a close. But the main intent here was to right-size the list so that we can get a clear understanding of what the membership will be around the consensus call. So with that, I'll turn it back over to Thomas for closing comments, and then we can close the call with 4 minutes to go. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Barry. That was an outstanding piece of work that you delivered. So thank you very much for this and for guiding us through that, and also to Mary and other team members that have prepared all this. Now, we have 4 minutes left on this call. So I think, what I'd like to understand is, you know, if we proceed to the consensus call, we have a couple of items that we've discussed today, and I don't know exactly where the group stands on those. And so you can probably help me frame this so that we are sure we're on the same page with respect to those things. So it was my understanding that the headquarters outlier would be removed. Is that common understanding in this group? So if not, please let me know. Then we had a discussion around additional generic or general terms without any additional more languages. My sense is that given that we have the UN 6 languages in the other consensus policy, that it would be beyond the scope of this group to add additional languages for general terms unless there's a justification under national law. So it's just indicate, please, if you think that this understanding is incorrect. And the third point is to confirm that there's little we can do with respect to acronym, because that's covered elsewhere and outside of this focus of our group. Any further points that were discussed today as last-minute challenges that we need to capture? Maybe Barry or Mary can also help me with this.
Thank you, Thomas. Again, just to clarify, the second part of what will be sent to the list is the next version of this definitive list and the two categories that I mentioned earlier. And I think it'll be important since we have full membership participation on the call. I think it's important to take this to the list, but to confirm those two areas. One is higher level organizational names and the use of that term in a jurisdiction or a country such as the Red Cross being translated into that official language. And we want to draw that out. And then secondarily was the second category of those exception names, I believe six of them. And I want to include Stefan's responses from the transcript in those. And I think it'll be important to highlight those to seek support on in addition to the draft recommendations. Thank you.
Thanks very much. That's very helpful. And I guess that also responds to the Hawkins point. Stefan, you have your hand raised. And you actually go into the
next one. Thank you. This is so Stefan Hankins, ICRC. So what we will seek to do is prepare a table of relevant extracts from national legislation for those 15 countries. And as far as possible, I can't promise. I know for some of them it's okay, to confirm that, you know, the national legislation on the protection of the Red Cross emblem and names includes, the protection of the names. Of course, you know, each country has national legislation in its own language. So obviously, if the names are protected, they would be protected in the national language. Same for the treaty that the state is a party to. Thank you very much for all the work that has been done. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Stefan. And with that, I think can adjourn. We're waiting Barry's update documents to list, and then we can proceed as described. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join the call today. Thanks again to staff for a standard job on this, and talk to you soon. This call is now adjourned. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for your participation today, everyone. Meeting adjourned. Operator, please stop the recordings and disconnect all remaining lines. Have a great day, everyone.